My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
I'm Nick Westergaard, and this is On Brand, helping you tell your story. My guest this week is Jason Harris.
The brand is what you tell the world that you are. That's what you say to the world. This is what we represent. But your reputation is what the world tells you that you are. And when your brand matches what the world tells you you are, that's how you build a great brand. If your brand mismatches, that's when you get brands that are misaligned and therefore are not powerful or strong.
Jason is the co-founder and CEO of Mechanism, an award-winning creative advertising agency whose clients include Ben & Jerry's, Peloton, OkCupid, Molson Coors, and Alaska Airlines, and is the author of the best-selling book, The Soulful Art of Persuasion. Jason, welcome to On Brand.
Thanks for having me, Nick. I'm excited to be here.
I'm excited to chat. We were talking in the in our little pre-show about writing books and the process, and yours is fascinating to me, mostly because I see the title, it grabs me because it's a bit of a paradox, because it's got soulful art on one end and then persuasion on the other. And I feel like sometimes, especially in the marketing and sales world, persuasion can seem a little, you know, hard charging, aggressive. So what's the Venn diagram for soulful art and persuasion?
Well, you know, being in my whole career has been in advertising and marketing. And as a kid, since I was 12, I knew I wanted to go into this field. And I was a strange kid. I don't know why, but I always watched commercials as a kid and kind of thought about, like, did that brand or product speak to me? Would I want to buy that? Who are they trying to talk to? So I've always kind of had a mindset for marketing, advertising. And I read this Gallup poll that really sort of set me up on writing this book, which was the three most dishonest professions in America was number one, congressperson. So that makes sense, right? And then number two was actually it had used car salesmen. I don't know if they still use that language. And then the third was advertising practitioner. And so the dishonesty in our profession and the idea of advertising and marketing products, the public really does not trust us. So there was a 4A study that said 96% of people that they polled don't trust advertising, yet 90% trust the brands that they buy. So they love brands that mean something. yet they don't trust advertising. And so the book was really about this juxtaposition of persuasion, which is selling. I think of advertising and marketing and building a brand as selling to an audience. But you can do it in a meaningful, imbue it in a meaningful and soulful way to get your point across and to build a personal brand, build your reputation, build a brand or a product to sell it. And so that juxtaposition of soulful and persuasion is what I've always believed in. And it sort of started from this idea of the industry that I've, the profession I've chosen is very perceived to be a very dishonest one, which I don't believe fundamentally, that it has to be that way. I'm sure there's parts of it that are, and we've seen through history of brands doing, you know, scrupulous things, but I don't believe that that's the way you build a brand.
Yeah, when I'm speaking and mention that point, I usually put up the image of the more doctors smoke Camels than any other cigarette as the reference point for maybe not always being the most ethical. But I think that's a fascinating data point. I'd not heard that one before. I hear a lot that trust in advertising is low and isn't something that anybody trusts a great deal, but brands. So that's an interesting connection point, an interesting thing to find in the data. So yeah. Is there some sort of equator of line of demarcation of where the brand and how you feel about them versus what they're out there saying in their advertising?
Yeah. So I think this is a fundamental question. And I think, you know, this is your sort of on brand podcast talks a lot about the meanings behind brands and what they mean to the audience. And to me, the brand is what you tell the world that you are. That's what you say to the world. This is what we represent. But your reputation is what the world tells you that you are. So your reputation is what is played back to you. And when your brand matches what the world tells you you are, that's how you build a great brand. If your brand mismatches and the world's telling you you're something different because your reputation is off, or you pick the wrong path to say this is what the stake in the ground is, that this is our North Star, that's when you get brands that are misaligned and therefore are not powerful or strong. And so to me, it's about brand. Branding means to me how you build what you say to the world, what your soul is, what you think you are, what the core of your reason for being is, what your purpose is. And then saying that consistently to the world, and then the world will let you know if you're right or not.
That's a great set of definitions for a bunch of things that we usually, ironically, as marketers, aren't always the best at defining. And I think it's interesting, as you note there, the mismatch of what you say, what others are saying. And that really being kind of an indicator for those great brands that we're always pointing to, that we talk about a lot. So with this identified, how do you create soulful art, to just shamelessly plug the book title in a clunky segue?
Well, I sort of break down in the book four principles, and the book was written really for people to be successful in their careers, because in every career and everything that anyone chooses to do, you have to be selling, and brands are selling, people are selling, you know, you're trying to convince your spouse to go on a vacation with you, or your kids to, you know, go to college or get ready for school or whatever, or you're trying to convince your boss to give you a promotion or a client to sign with you, we're persuading all day long, whether we realize it or not. And so both for people and brands, the same principles apply. And those principles, I'll just rattle them off super quick and we won't have to talk too much about them. But a brand or a person has to be totally themselves. They have to be an original. They have to have core values, know what they stand for, live those values, and really be unique. And that's sort of the building foundation for me of soulful persuasion. The second is being generous. Brands need to be generous. They need to be positive. They need to respect their customers. They need to be collaborative. And that's a generous brand or a generous person. People have to do the same thing. The third one is being empathetic, which is about trying to find the common ground between what you believe in and what your audience believes in, and finding those commonalities. And that common ground is really trying to understand people from diverse backgrounds or different need states. That's another hallmark of a great brand or a person that's trying to sell or persuade. So original, generous, empathetic. The fourth one is soulful, which to me is about a brand or a person should be inspirational by doing something that makes, it sounds very like hoity-toity, but makes the world a better place. Some type of giving back component. If your brand is Charles Schwab, which is a brand that we work on, you should, the soulful piece of that might be making sure the underserved are financially literate. Or if, you know, obviously Patagonia is an easy one, or a brand like Ben & Jerry's, it's another brand that we work on. When you're buying ice cream, you're also helping some of their progressive policies as well, because the founders, you know, imbued the brand with this idea of movement, and they come out with, they're not selling ice cream, they're selling progressive programs. They just happen to also, the way that takes business shape is through selling ice cream. And so those are soulful examples and how you build a longstanding brand in my estimation and my experience. And I apply the same four principles to people that are successful in their careers or brands that are successful in connecting with an audience.
On Brand, we'll be right back after this.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure, I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/MPN to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/MPN. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
You may know you're listening to this show along the Marketing Podcast Network, but did you know there are other great shows on MPN to help your business? Christy Hyler hosts a fantastic podcast called Own It. Christy, tell us more about the show.
Own It is all about celebrating women and non-binary advertising agency owners. We talk about buying out of the Boys Club of Advertising because less than 1% of ad agencies are owned by women.
And where can people subscribe?
You can find the podcast at untilyouownit.com. We're also on the Marketing Podcast Network at marketingpodcast.net. And of course, you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
You heard her. Go subscribe.
Now, back to the show.
So, in looking at those four steps
Yeah.
And talking about persuasion, which defined is getting someone to do or think X, how do those four steps prompt action on the part of the audience? How does the persuasion part of the equation happen?
So like the sort of ask?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think at some point there is an ask, of course, but when you have a consumer and so are we looking at it from the brand standpoint?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So from the brand standpoint, it's the way you communicate with a customer or client once you have them. It's a way of making them feel important. It's how a brand like Peloton has a really strong community. They're selling, the ask is that you buy $1,500, $2,000 bike or treadmill. But what they're giving you is a community and a membership. And so when they communicate with their audience, it's always about what their members get out of the product, or it's extra things that the members do, or it's a way for them to connect their community together on social. But their product, to get in that membership, you have to buy a product. It could be $19 a month digital app, or it could be up to, you know, a multi-$1,000 treadmill. But the ask comes from, we want you to be a member of Peloton, and this is what you get with your membership. And so it's sort of wrapped around, it's not as base as buy this product, it's wrapped around something greater. But the point of asking or making the sale has to come either early on or later on in the process, but there's always a clear ask, right? I don't know if I answered your question very articulately, but
yeah.
Well,
and I also wanted you to say more about the importance of positivity, because I feel like, you know, there's two big kind of clouds over this idea of positivity. And one is just that we as a culture find ourselves so divided, so polarized, and it doesn't always feel the most positive out there. And on the other side of this, when it talks about, when historically we've talked, not even maliciously, but about brands positioning, there was, you know, a striving for that optimal superlative positioning, that you're above everyone else, the best at, the only. How does all of that, are we still doing that? Is it different? And how does that fit today's culture? It seems like it'd be much needed.
To sort of find that niche of, this is the thing we offer that no one else does, or I think that is a critical part of the idea of being original. You need to bring something to the category or the industry that is just what you do that no one else can do. And it could be the first, the biggest, the best value, whatever it is. It has to come in that first principle of why are you unique? What makes you unique? And that's part of your core value system. And that shouldn't change over time. Even if you're a brand like, let's say like Amazon, where you start by saying, we have the largest selection and we're the only online book retailer that has the largest selection. Any book you want, we can get it to you. And that is unique. It's original. No one else. There might be other people that were, you know, when they started selling books online, but they had that proposition that made them unique. They could then spin off of that to say, okay, you're used to getting your books online. now you can get your you know, fashion online, your home care products, whatever. And they expanded downward, but from that same proposition of we have everything. And then they just did that in different verticals, but they were original in their sort of start. And they, you have to have another book retailer could come along and build a brand, but then they have to be niche, or they have to be faster, or they have to be cheaper, or some other ownable aspect of their brand that would be different.
Yeah, so they're missing that first. I mean, it's really a foundational building block, because if you look at those four steps, you, I mean, they're all required. You like you said, and anyone else could not be Amazon without being something different.
Something different, yeah, exactly.
So when we talk about brands being generous, you know, I think that there's one obvious way of hearing that is the literal financial generosity. Are there other meanings when we talk about brands needing to be generous?
I mean, I think it can come down to generosity to me isn't just giving things away. Although it could be, it could also be cultivating a positive. It could be a newsletter they send out once a month that has maybe positive commentary, or a staff writer from that company that is, you know, giving you hints on, you know, how to exercise during your work day, or an airline like Alaska Airlines. I would call them a generous company because they, their value is to care about the customer. They care more than other airlines. So they will do extra things like, you know, maybe not charge for an extra bag, or I'm just pulling some examples for color here, or maybe you can change your flight easier. Or another airline like Southwest would have lower cost because of the way they board the planes and it's no frills. And so there's other ways to be generous to your audience that isn't just giving something away. It's what you do to put your customer first and show them respect. And it's about keeping your promises and being as present as possible with your audience that cultivates this sort of generous spirit. It could be back on the airline. It could be once a year you get a free partner ticket to go anywhere you want. That's giving something away. But it could also be a mental space of gratitude or positivity that can make you a generous brand, a spirit of generosity. So it doesn't always have to be monetary for a company.
Yeah. So we've touched on it a few times. You've mentioned personal brands. And individually, when you talk about an individual being empathetic, you have three habits that add up to the kind of empathetic character that'll benefit you as a persuader. Would you go into a bit of that about how this can have impact for you personally as a persuader?
Yeah, sure. That's I like that twist. And I obviously building a brand is different than building your personal brand, but they have the same underlying thing. A brand is sort of a living entity that has characteristics and behaviors that they display, hopefully based on their value system, just like people do. And empathetic, when you're thinking about persuading or selling, is really about having, you know, the first one is really making it about the other person that you're trying to persuade, aka your boss, your customer, your spouse, your family member, whatever it is. It's having a natural curiosity about that other person it's really listening to them and their needs and trying to understand them on a deeper level, making it about them. The second is collaborating, joining forces with other people. So when you're, if you think about it from a personal standpoint, not trying to go it alone. So I've built, this is a second business that I've had. The first business I did started without partners, all by myself. And it didn't pan out for me because I wasn't thinking about others and I wasn't collaborating. I wasn't filling in the other needs that I couldn't do myself because no one person can do it themselves. So seeking out collaborations is another form of empathy because you're joining forces and collaborating with other people that benefits you and them. And then the third, which I briefly touched on, was this idea of thinking about what makes us all the same, what the human condition is, thinking about the common ground that we all share. That's going to really help you as a persuader in whatever you're trying to accomplish, because you're trying to think about what brings us together. What are the points where we intersect versus why are we so different? And when you start with the commonalities and thinking of someone else and showing respect and what you are connected to, that will help you make your point in whatever you're trying to achieve. And another one under this is asking for advice and help. When you ask for advice and help of somebody else, it sounds counterintuitive, like you're being a burden to them, but you're really being vulnerable to them by asking for help, which makes them more connected to you. And they want to see your success because you're reaching out to them for a favor or advice or a contact or an ask. And that really is part of sort of this empathetic principle.
Great approach for brands, great approach for people. I love it.
Yeah, Jay, and from the brand standpoint, if I may, Nick,
yeah.
The way brands can do this is through asking for feedback, seeing if was the request met? Did we service you in the way that you wanted? Do we respect what it's about getting that feedback loop going, shows your customer that you're respecting them and that you're asking their opinion so that you can improve. And when you don't do that, it's sort of like on Airbnb, how they allow you to, the person staying gets rated and then the place you stayed gets rated and you're allowed to write a review freely in whatever you want to say, and it adds up to their rating points and it adds up to your rating points, but you're opening yourself up to feedback. And if it's closed loop with zero feedback, that's not a very empathetic approach for a brand or a company.
Not at all. Jason, as we talk about positivity, it seems like a great segue to asking you for a brand that has made you smile recently.
Okay, so a brand, I love that. I know this was a question you always, always love to ask. But I think one thing that really made me smile was are you familiar with McDonald's? And I know it's like whatever you might think of that brand, they have been doing a lot of celebrity meals. So they'll take like an influencer or a pop singer and they'll make a meal based on that influencer, that person. And that makes me smile because when you think of McDonald's as a brand and how strong it is and how they're everywhere and ubiquitous around the world, I love that they will say, hey, we want to share our brand with someone else that a portion of our customers might like. and we're going to create a meal or a celebrity meal. To me, I don't know why, it makes me smile and laugh, and I feel like they're kind of having fun with it. And I like brands that aren't too stuffy to just run the same playbook, but they like to have a little fun. And so that, I don't know why, but that makes me smile. That's what I thought of.
That's a great example. And yeah, I've seen those, I think around the holidays, they had the Mariah Carey menu.
Mariah Carey. Yeah, exactly.
Jason, where can folks go to learn more about who you are and what you do?
So you can find out more about my book if you're interested in these principles at thesoulfulart.com. TheSoulfulArt.com. Obviously, my book is available on Amazon and any retailer that's currently open during the pandemic. And then you can find me at Jason_Harris on Instagram and Twitter, and just Jason Harris on LinkedIn. And you know, anyone can feel free to reach out and ask me any questions if you're interested. And I'd love to connect with folks.
Awesome. Well, we'll link up to all of that in our show notes at onbrandpodcast.com. Jason, thanks for being on brand with us.
Thanks for having me, Nick. Really appreciate it.
And if you like what you're hearing, if we've made you smile, remember you can always listen free at Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or whatever your favorite platform may be. Until next week, I'm Nick Westergaard, and I'll see you on the internet.
This podcast is heard along the Marketing Podcast Network. For more great marketing podcasts, visit marketingpodcasts.net.